Here it comes again. Lunch. Will it be the same old, same old? Or are you ready to take a vacation from the ordinary with the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub at Firehouse Subs? Freshly sliced smoked turkey breast, craveably sweet mustard sauce, and a hint of Caribbean seasoning. Just $5.55 for a medium. Save time. Order the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub on the Firehouse Subs app. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations, limited time only, plus tax. Prices may vary for delivery.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Many, 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 Mickey, 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 Pishy, Pishy!
You're listening to the Voices of Wrestling Podcast with your hosts, Joe Lanza.
X out, go listen to some boring podcast where they're afraid of their own shadow. Okay? Don't listen to Joe Lanza, because Joe Lanza's not changing.
And Rich Craig.
Give me a name. Who delivers this guy in a big spot?
Joe, don't yell at me.
In the big spot, who delivers better than this guy?
Stop yelling at me. I agree.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? This is Rich from the Voice of Wrestling flagship podcast. Just want to let you know that tonight, Case Lowe and I recorded a podcast. Case Lowe was filling in for Joe Lanza, who's actually visiting his family back in New Jersey. We were going to talk about a bunch of different topics. New Japan Power Struggle, the World Tag League blocks, Global Wars UK, and most specifically, I think the highlight of our show was going to be our Dragon Gate talk. We're going to talk about Dragon Gate, Gate of Destiny, and Akira Tozawa's graduation ceremony. Basically, as we were recording, we noticed a lot of issues going on with our recording software. We had tried to fix it, and I think we got it a little bit. I mean, you will hear in this part of the show that I did, was able to resurrect, which, spoiler alert, a lot of the episode was not able to be resurrected. But the part we did resurrect, you'll hear some weird glitches here and there, some audio connections, some call quality issues. We thought we had that corrected in the last half of the show. Everything was, looking good. My program was working fine. I come to find out as I laid the audio down to sort of edit it, is that the recording program that we use, which is Pamela for Skype, which is absolute shit, and I updated it this week, and I'm really gutted that I did, because it absolutely completely destroyed this episode. And looking on Twitter now, which I probably should have done before, I see that tons of people are having issues too, even fellow wrestling podcasts are having issues with that program. So that really pains me that I should have known. I should have been better about that, but whatever. So we recorded on Pamela with Skype. What happened is basically the last half of the show, it, for whatever reason, I have no idea what would possess it to do this, but it recorded both of our audios on the same, at the same time. So there would be huge gaps of sound where there was no audio, and then anything that we said for the next 10 minutes would be over each other. So it'd be me talking, Case talking at the same time, and it was unintelligible, and you could not understand anything. I did my best to piece together and thinking, okay, cool, what if I grab this little part here, this little part here, this little part here, this little part here. After about an hour, I said, okay, what am I doing here? It still sounded like garbage, and you weren't getting the content that we wanted to deliver. We wanted to deliver high quality content on this podcast. It's always what we try to do. So when we couldn't do that, I basically had to throw in the towel. So unfortunately, this week you are going to get an abbreviated version of the Voice Wrestling Podcast. You will only get the New Japan Power Struggle review. We really wanted to talk, I mean, the last half of the show talking about Dragon Gate was really the part that I was looking forward to. I was really, I thought Case did a great job with it as well. That's kind of his home promotion, doing the Open the Voice Gate podcast. So it kind of sucked that we weren't able to get that, and I really just want to apologize to everybody who subscribes to our feed and who supports us and follows us and does all the other good stuff. I wanted to do everything I could to make this episode work and to make this episode the quality that I want to give you guys, and I always pride myself not on necessarily the content quality that we do on the show, because I think we do a very good job of that, but also the aesthetic quality of the podcast. Sound good, they're aesthetically pleasing, you want to listen to them, they don't sound like tin can and strings type stuff. This episode, it just pains me that we, you're listening to the parts that were resurrected don't sound great, and then B, that the parts that I just had to completely scrape because I just did not feel right releasing those, and they just sounded like absolute crap, and there's no way you would want to listen to them too. You'd listen for 2 minutes and want to depart immediately. So I do apologize to everybody for that. We always try to deliver highest quality that we can, and I couldn't do that this time, so I apologize to all of our listeners, and I hope you understand that why we had to kind of chop off the half, and I hope you still appreciate the little bit that we did keep on and did resurrect. But again, I want to definitely apologize to Case, who gave me his time this entire evening, that we weren't really, able to get the most out of. And I want to apologize to all of you as well that I wasn't able to deliver the quality. And also our sponsor, Dollar Shave Club, who was gracious enough to sponsor this week's podcast. They got an inferior product this week, and that makes me feel pretty bad as well. So I hope that everybody can at least understand what I went through and what I really tried to do to try to get this episode to work, I've been trying for hours now, and it's not going anywhere, and I just have to chop it off at this point. Just call this a loss, throw in the towel, it's over. So anyway, I appreciate everyone's support, and I hope that you understand why this episode is as abbreviated as it is, and why it does not sound as good as it is. And I will do everything we can to get it fixed for next week. So I hope that by next week we'll be all good, and we can get back on our normal Voice of Wrestling flagship podcast schedule and deliver the high quality content that we want to deliver to you guys. So anyway, enjoy the abbreviated version of the podcast this week. Take care. All right, welcome once again to the Voices of Wrestling flagship podcast. I'm Rich Krejci alongside not Joe Lanza today. Joe Lanza is in the McMahon territory. I believe he's swiping right on hairdressers right now. He's back in New Jersey visiting his family. So I got the best fill-in I could find, the guy that last time when Joe wasn't able to do a show, I had this man on, this young lion, this young lad we have here, and people said, you got to bring him back. We love him. To be fair, it was five people, so I shouldn't say everybody. But those five people, I take their opinion very highly, and that's why Case Lowe has returned to the podcast to fill in for Joe. Case, how's it going?
I'm very well. If I'm still a young lion, does this mean the third time I do the show, I get a sweet jacket with, like, black flag logos?
Yeah, you can,
on it?
No, well, I think you can grow your hair back now if you'd like.
Okay,
We've told you to keep it shaved for a while, but yeah. Go crazy. I mean, don't go nuts. I mean, but you can grow your hair a little bit now, I think.
Do I have to dye it purple or red or some bizarre color?
A few more matches, I would say, do that. Oh. I don't know if you're ready for that yet. We don't want you standing out too much amongst the crowd now. But, Case, for people that don't know a little about you, can you kind of give people kind of a recap or a little bit about what you do for the website and what you do elsewhere?
I do most of the Dragon Gate coverage for Voices of Wrestling. I am a member 1/4 of the Open the Voice Gate podcast, which you can find on the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. And I do our AAW reviews, the hottest promotion in Chicagoland and Rich Krejci territory. And I sort of do whatever else Rich needs me to do. I scrub the Lanza dojos. You would not believe mm-hmm. what's on the floor there. I don't really want to talk about
it. You make a great udon soup, though, so we'll give it up for that. That's always yes. wonderful when the big pot of udon soup is boiling in the other room, and it's, nice job, Case. Nice job. So, what possessed you to come onto this podcast with me? Why when I said, hey, Case, I need someone to fill in. Would you please talk to me on a Thursday night? I mean, I get why Joe does it because he's also stupid. You have to have something better to do, sir, right? I mean, you're in high school. You're a senior year of high school. You have nothing better to do than talk to me?
I have literally nothing better to do. My senior year of high school is sort of, and especially now that I've been accepted into a college and looking at a back.
Brag about it. That's a pretty big accomplishment.
Yeah, I'll be in Krejciland hopefully at this time next year in Columbia, Chicago, studying comedy writing and performance. So now that I've been accepted, I just sort of show up. I care about my broadcasting class. I'm doing very well in creative writing. And then it's just sort of me hanging out and watching Torimon for the rest of the day.
I always wonder that. So I was wondering that the other day, because you're always on our Slack chat during the day. Do you have your phone or do they have like a laptop? Because I haven't been in high school since, I mean, I graduated in 2005. So it's like so foreign to me because like we had like terrible Nokia cell phones or whatever at that time. And they were like, if we see those, we're going to like confiscate it and you'll never get it back or whatever. Like the idea that like you were somehow watching Torimon like during school, it's just unfathomable.
So my sophomore year,
is it on your calculator? Because that's how we used to do it. We used to cheat on our calculator and play like games. So that must be it, right?
Sort of.
It's not. Damn it. Do you have calculators anymore? Do you even need calculators anymore?
I don't have a calculator this year, but I'm not taking a math class. I got all my math credits out of the way because I hate math.
So you know what? You're smart like me. I did that too. My senior year, I didn't take one single math class, and I've never taken another one since then. Because I do this, and I do web design, and I do social media, and I was like, nope, I'm never going to need math again. screw you, I'm not taking math my senior year. And it was the greatest year of my life.
So, like, I've got, like, a phone calculator. And, like, most people use that. Like, unless you're in, like a pre-calc class and need a scientific calculator, sure, most people use their phones. Now, teachers will sometimes be like, hey, don't use your phone on your test, which is understandable. But for the most part, it's a phone calculator. We started implementing technology in my sophomore year, and then last year, my junior year, it was required that everyone has a device of some sort, so either an iPad or a laptop. And the school provides you with one, and you can rent it out if you can't afford it. But I've got my MacBook, and you know, I position myself in every classroom. So, and this is like first day of school, I'll position myself in a spot where I know I can watch IWA Mid-South during fourth period and Toryumon during fifth, and no one's going to notice, or, you know, God forbid someone comment on that, because it's hard to explain Necro Butcher to a 17-year-old right. girl. Like, that's not a very easy thing to do. But yeah, I mean, I've got my computer open, and I take notes digitally, so a lot of times it's one tab of Dragon Kid and then another sure. tab of U.S. history notes, and I just go back and forth. And, you know, my grades this year are the best grades I've ever had. I'm a straight-A kid right now.
See? So Dragon Kid leads to good grades. I think the Dragon Kid in general leads to good grades. So no one's sitting behind you then, right? Are you, like, you're in the the deep, dark corners
I'll
of
go,
the room?
I'll go back okay. room, or, like, some teachers will, like, desk against the wall on the side, and I'll just bury myself on a 45-degree angle against the corner, and, like, I participate in class. Like,
this is fascinating.
My biggest fear in life is, like, a quiet classroom when no one wants to participate. It's the most uncomfortable thing, because, like, teachers get annoyed. They're like, oh, I guess no one's paying attention. So, like, I participate in every class. I make it a goal for myself, because I think it's good to help myself be vocal. I make it a goal to participate and raise my hand at least once every period. Which is probably obnoxious, but yeah, I do it because I think it's good for me to, you know, to speak some. So it's a really.
I hated you in school, by the way, but yeah, that's all right. No, I didn't hate you. I was the same way. The uncomfortableness of, like, no one talking is the worst, because the worst too is, like, if you do that, then they'll just kind of spring questions yeah. on you and, like, point at you and be like, all right, now you, like, so I would get out ahead of it. If I knew an answer to something, I would right away, like, cause you get that hand up in the first 5 minutes of class, you're basically good
yes,
to go
completely.
The rest of the class. Like, you were like, hey, I participated here. And then maybe you do it a little bit, like, 30 minutes later, and then you're not getting called on again. Like, they're not going to look at you again. They're like, yeah, you're cool. You're good. We're going to look at everybody else that's, you know, cowering in fear and under their desk hiding from my point. So it actually is a good strategy to just get out there ahead of the teacher and start giving some answers.
I know
good.
How to
that's
play the game. The first 3 weeks of school, I am on top of everything. I win the teachers over. I am witty. I am comical. And then they're like, hey, you know what? Case can do his thing. He's going to turn his work in. He's going to be respectful. Let him just sort of do his own thing. And that's what happens. And I end up watching Toryumon in school.
That's why we love you, Case. So we got plenty to talk about today. We got New Japan Power Struggle. We're going to review that. We're going to talk about the World Tag League. We have blocks and very odd participants that we'll get to in a sec. We have a little bit about the Wrestle Kingdom 11, the potential card. We'll kind of break down what we have and what we know so far. Also, Revolution Pro Wrestling and New Japan are doing a joint show in the UK right now, Global Wars. One of the shows, as you're listening to this now, has already concluded, happened earlier today in the UK. And then the other one is going on the next day. So by the time a lot of you guys listen to this, these shows will have already happened. But I think it's still worth us kind of breaking them down, because they'll be up on VOW in a few days. And I think, just looking at the cards, I think you're going to probably want to buy these. And if I'm seeing the reports right, I think you're going to want to buy Night One, pretty much guaranteed. And then we're going to talk Big Show from Dragon Gate, your home promotion for the Open the Voice Gate podcast. Dragon Gate, we're going to talk the Gate of Destiny show, of course, Akira Tozawa's graduation, his final moments in the company, so we'll talk a lot about that. And then a few other things kind of here and there in between, but that's going to be our main focus here. So if you're looking for hot WWE takes, you might need to go elsewhere because it's not happening. And I don't, Case, you
no,
said you haven't watched
it. I haven't watched Hell in a Cell. I've got like a system now of I read like a few different pay-per-view reports. Like I'll read you guys, of course, the group reviews. I'll see what TJ Hawk has to say. And if none of you guys give anything 4 stars plus, I don't bother watching it, because there's only so much time in my
That's
life
hard.
And I'm still young, and I can't spend time on, yeah.
Don't throw away your life like that. No, do not throw your life away watching crappy WWE in 2016. It's just not worth it. So you're doing the right thing there. But yeah, we'll get to all those. But before we start, though, I do want to let everybody know that this episode of the Voices of Wrestling Flagship Podcast is sponsored by Dollar Shave Club. And Case, if anybody knows about shaving, it's you, right?
20 minutes before we went on air. Yeah.
Is that true? I don't want to lie here. I don't. We don't lie in these advertisements. When we talk, you promised
Rich,
me, sir.
I not only shaved. I use my razors from DollarShaveClub.com, and I got those with the promo code Voices, and that is a shoot, brother.
Yes, you're a smart man there. So I'll. I like this is why we like you, Case. You're a good man. But anyway, you don't have to choose between price and quality to get an amazing and affordable shave. We've talked about this many times. DollarShaveClub.com is the answer to prove just how amazing that shave really is. Right now, they're going to give you your first month free to join the club. DollarShaveClub.com delivers amazing razors right to your door for the third of the price of those greedy razor corporations. And you know, I you're probably like Joe. I hate Big Razor. I don't like Gillette. I don't like all those. You know, I have no time for all those companies. I like Dollar Shave Club. I hate Big Razor. Hate those greedy razor companies. But anyway, go to DollarShaveClub.com and pick a razor that works for you from their lineup of amazing blades. I did this. You did this. And many of our listeners have already done it. And that's all there really is to it. You know, I get a first-class shave. I use the Executive Blade. When I use it with the Dr. Carver's Shave Butter. I don't know if you've used that. That just makes a smoky smooth shave. It's great there. The blade just gently glides to the smoothest shave I've ever had, you've ever had, and all of our listeners have ever had. If you tried it, try it, and you'll see. I promise. I wouldn't lie about that. But today is your chance to see why over 3 million members, like me, like Case, like Joe Lanza, and all of you, have loved Dollar Shave Club. Dollar Shave Club is so confident in the quality of all their products that now you can get your first month of the club for free. You just pay the shipping. After that, just a few bucks per month. No long-term commitment, no hidden fees, nothing like that. There's really no reason not to do it. We've been talking about it a while. First month free, you pay the shipping. I mean, why would you not do that? So do it right now, dollarshaveclub.com/voices. That's dollarshaveclub.com/voices. Helps us out, helps our gracious sponsor out, and you get a great shave. So it's win-win for everybody. So, Case, let's get to this here. Let's talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling Power Struggle 2016. Last weekend, the show went off. As I do with Joe, before we kind of break down every single match, what do you think of the show in general? Because I was kind of surprised. I had a lot of people, at least on my Twitter feed, and I think even Joe Lanza in his review said that this was like a show of the year contender. This was an awesome, you know, next level, great top tier type show or whatever. And I watched it and I enjoyed it, but I don't know if it ever reached show of the year level for me quite. And that could be because I watched it with the expectations that what I'm going to watch is going to be amazing. It's going to be great. Still a very good show, but I don't know. Where did you kind of stand,
Rich,
with that?
We show of the year or just here. A very good show? I came into this show expecting a lot and I got a lot of very good stuff, but I didn't see this show as a show of the year contender. I saw this as a show with two or three great matches and a lot of very good stuff. And a Bone Soldier match.
That Bone Soldier thing. Are you with me that, like, because Joe's on this, like, oh, it can be so bad it's good. I think it's bad.
The first Road to Power Struggle show
say?
For the site, the one from Cork and Hall, and it was, I think it was a singles match between Bone Soldier and Tatsu, and he, like, it.
I have not watched that match yet. People tell me I have to, but I'm very scared to do it.
So bad. It's one of those
okay,
where you're
that's what I think.
It, yeah. And I almost watched it twice because sometimes when I review a match, I'll get nervous that like I'm missing something and that I'm going to give it 2.5 stars. It was this 3.75 star
intricate detail. Right. Because Bone Soldier worked over Tatsu's elbow the entire night.
Man,
like, yeah, no, probably not.
What an atrocious feud. I don't know if it'll win my worst feud of the year because I think big old Tim Thatch and Drew Gulak are in that territory in the Abe Sapolsky company, Evolve. But
yeah,
Bone Soldier and Yoshitatsu, man, not good stuff there. Yeah, it's down the stretch.
Making a nice
really,
late run,
they're really pulling
absolutely.
For it.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about we're kind of going to bounce around here a little bit because I don't want to just kind of break down the card and, you know, match by match. But one of the matches that was shockingly good, and I think a shock to a lot of people and even people that kind of came in and thought, OK, you know what, it's not going to be terrible. Like, I was one of the people in the preview that said, you know, I don't think it's going to be a terrible match. You know, the team in question has been very, you know, not great, but has been better lately. But what they brought here, and this is the Guerrillas of Destiny defeating Chaos to win the IWGP Tag Team Championships, or to retain the IWGP Tag Team Championships, rather. That match is one that, like, if you're listening to this, if you haven't watched that show, maybe you skipped the first part of the Power Struggle and you wanted to watch the last half, and we are telling you that the Guerrillas of Destiny versus Ishii and Yoshihashi was, like, a legit four-star match. Did you like it as much as I did?
I imagine getting this match in February when Tonga and Roa still had a chance, and you give them this, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, goodbye Anderson and Gallows, we've got the new IWGP tag champions, this is the future. But instead, they stuck up the joint for 10 months, and they bring us this. Yoshihashi and Ishii were tremendous, and I can't take away from Tonga and Roa. This was not my match of the night, but this was my number two. Fantastic stuff.
It was, it's hard to believe, because I was watching this match, and as it's going on, I'm like, what? Like, this, you would think that they're different people under the face paint than Tama Tonga and Rao, because they were just, like, they were bouncing all over the place, they were moving fast, everything they did had, like, some impact, everything they did was quick, like, it wasn't the slither they had done, like, for so long. They had done, like, the, you know, Tama Tonga would slither, and then Tonga would be, like, the big power guy who would do these, like, moves like he's 6'7", or whatever. Then, I don't know what the hell got into them with this match, but they were bouncing all over the place, running around, the tag team moves looked great, the double team moves looked awesome, like everything they did was just like super impactful, and yeah, a lot of the credit should probably go to Ishii and Yoshihashi, because both of them are great, but like you can't take the credit away from Girls of Destiny, because they were also just as good. They were in lockstep with those other guys, which is just insane. Like, it's unfathomable that they were that good. Like, how is that possible? Like, I've never in my life seen a team have so many awful matches in a row. Like, it's not like they had, you know, a bad little stretch here. Like you're saying, it was months upon months where they were just awful, actively terrible, hated most of their matches. And then, like, even these things that happened a few weeks ago, and I mentioned it in my preview, I was like, okay, you know, they've been better. They've been serviceable. They've been okay. Like, that last Briscoes match was like, ah, it's fine. You know, they weren't offensive to my, you know, eyes or whatever. And then, like, this match comes, and it's like, oh my God, this is legitimately great. And this, you know, if you would call this your match of the night, I wouldn't call you crazy. And it's like, how were the Girls of Destiny in a match of the night on a stacked show like this? And it boggles the mind how they did this. But it was just a fantastic match, a little under 15 minutes. They, of course, retained their tag team titles, but still, just you absolutely have to watch it. If this is a show and you skip the first half and you go, there's no way, you cannot convince me to watch a Girls of Destiny match. I promise you, Case promises you, Joe promises you, anybody that's watched this match will promise you
you're trying to hit the nail on the head.
Unbelievable how good this match was.
The way the Girls of Destiny moved in this match, they were quick, and we watched from 15 feet away, May 8th, my mom, your wife, there in the front row, Ring of Honor Global Wars. We watched Tangaroa
blow three or four spots in a
basic 8-man tag. Like, Kushida does that thing in tag matches where he'll like handspring into the corner and kick two guys off the apron, and Tonga was there. Tama Tonga took a great bump of that. Roa just didn't comprehend that there was a kick happening and just sort of just jumped off the apron just willy-nilly. He was so bad, and we watched him from 15 feet away be awful, and now he comes into this match like a world beater, and I'm not totally anti-Grills of Destiny after this. I want to see them have another match this good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder, is this like something clicked and they went, oh, this is what we should do, or oh, this is, you know, I generally wonder. So that's why it's going to be great to see them, you know, again, I can't believe I'm saying this, that I cannot wait to see their next match when I was just actively like, please go away and never come back. Like, I want to see what happens next, because I want to see if they revert back to what we've seen, you know, the prior 10 months or whatever, or if this is the new thing where they go, oh, okay, like, we just got to work a little bit quicker. We just got to work a little bit more purpose, because I don't. You know, I you don't, when you're against this, or, you know, on the other side of the ring is Ishii and Yoshihashi, you look at it and go, okay, well, you know, maybe it's just those guys and they're awesome, but I don't know. Part of me just says that something clicked with those guys. It's like I said, the movement, the speed that they were working with was just so much different than what we've seen. So I got to believe that something clicked, or something was different, or something about this night, or I don't know what the hell it was. Like, I don't know what substances they consumed before they went out to the ring, or something. I don't know what it was. I have no idea. Like, I can't explain it, but it was just awesome. So it'll be great to see their next match, and if they follow up like this, or if it's back to kind of Dudsville with them, but I'll be watching for sure.
Do we know how long Roa's under New Japan contract? Because I can see this being one of those things where it's just too little, too late, and he signed for a year, and he gets to January 5th, and we never see him again. But if he's here for another year, as of now, I'm open to the idea. I'm not loving it, but I'm open to seeing more Tangaroa, which I never thought I'd say.
And then an equally awesome match. You know, the Girls of Destiny Chaos was incredible, awesome performance by those guys. Another one that I thought, really my match of the night, was Kushida versus Bushi. Kushida winning back his IWGP, I shouldn't say his, but I guess he's the ace of the promotion. Yeah, he deserves it. But anyway, Kushida winning back the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship against Bushi. I thought this was my match of the night. Case, where did you stand with this one?
This would have been my number three. I think there's two that I like more than this one. The aforementioned tag match we talked about, then one we'll touch on a little later. But this was the best Kushida Bushi match of the year. I thought this was light years better than their September match and a little bit better than their February match. Really, really enjoyed this.
Yeah, one of the things that I really loved about this is Kushida, the entire match, had kind of an edge to him. And for people that haven't watched this match, you should definitely should go seek it out, because it's awesome to see just how the Japanese fan base reacts to some, you know, such subtle stuff. Like Kushida in this match, I think he started off with kind of a kick. He like kicked Bushi in the leg or whatever. And that was enough where people were like, ooh, you know, the crowd's kind of like buzzing a little bit. And there's like a hush going on, like, oh, not our Kushida. He's such a good boy. Like, who's he hang out with now? Why is he doing this? Like, he's gotten, you know, and then this entire match, he was pissed. He was pissed that Bushi had cheated to win this title. He was pissed that the Ingobernables had kind of messed with him all, you know, all year. And he was like, no, I'm going to screw these guys. This is my title. This is my, you know, my division. I want to be the junior heavyweight championship. I'm the ace of this you know, division. I'm going to win this match, and I'm going to use any means necessary. And then throughout the match, he used little edges here and there, you know, would kick a little bit more. He'd kind of leave holds in a little bit longer, even after the referee had told him to stop. He was ripping away at Bushi's mask. He was kind of gnawing at his forehead certain times. And then the finish was also incredible, too, because he gets his hoverboard lock in, and Bushi, basically, he's very close to kind of squirming out of it, and Kushida says no, and locks him in to the hoverboard lock again, and then grabs his wrist and like bends it back and does like a wrist lock or whatever, where Bushi taps immediately. And again, just that little danger, just that little anger from Kushida is you don't see that often with him. He doesn't do that. So it was just really cool to see him have that little bit of an edge to him. What do you think about Kushida's, you know, demeanor and work style throughout this match? Because I thought it was awesome. I thought it really lent itself well to the match.
Well, Rich, you brought up that kick, and the first thing that came to mind was a G1 match a few years ago between Tanahashi and Tomoaki Hanma. And I don't know if you remember this match, but Tanahashi worked heel that entire match. He saw very early on that the crowd was behind Hanma, and I don't know if it's a cultural thing that just the American audiences don't pick up on, or it's just that these New Japan guys are so good, but Kushida was subtle in the way that he was a dick in this match, and he had a right to be. I mean, he's wrestled Bushi all year, beat him in February. Bushi brought out an entire army in the green mist to beat him in September. And now he had to come back, and he was upset, and there was progression in these matches, and he showed it. I can't say enough good things about Kushida. You talk about on, you know, this match isn't getting the buzz I think it deserves, and I think there's a broader point here that Kushida as a whole is not getting the love that he deserves. He's been an incredibly well-rounded performer all year. He's finally the ace of the junior division that we've wanted for so long. This is the Kushida on top. I think he's a Fez Flair contender just because he's been so great atop the juniors division. And no one's really talking about it. It's a shame because Kushida's had an amazing year.
Yeah, it's been an awesome year for him. It sucks that a lot of people aren't talking about it. I don't know if it's because he's a junior. I don't know if it's just, but he's had like those top level matches. He's had like everything you could want out of this guy. He's had, and it's, I don't know. Maybe it's just not in main events. Maybe it's just because he's not doing that. I don't know. But like anything you need, and hell, he was in a main event. So I don't know. I guess the match didn't deliver quite on that level. But yeah, I don't know. I think he's had an incredible year, and I don't think that a lot of people are talking about him. So I don't know. It is very strange here. But let's kind of break down the entire card now. Really quickly, because some of these matches I really don't have anything to say, and I don't think you do either, but we'll get to the dark match here. Tenzan, Juice Robinson, and Satoshi Kojima defeating Manabu Nakanishi, one of the Young Lions, Kanemitsu, and Yuji Nagata. Did you have anything in this match that stuck out to you or any?
I really like watching Juice Robinson wrestle now. I think he's turned into a very good wrestler, and this new crop of Young Lions, they do not stand out to me. They have done nothing for me, and it's... You know, it's a thing that you and Joe talked about.
They're like Young Lions now. I mean, unfortunately, like, we've been spoiled. But like Kanemitsu is just like a 20-year-old or like 19 or whatever the hell he is, and he's just not good, and he's just not ready yet. But we're so used to like Jay White being like, wow, this guy's already awesome, and Sho Tanaka being like, oh wow, you're pretty good, and Komatsu was great too. And these guys just aren't good. And like the other funny part, Joe brings it all up too, like where the heavyweights are still like in lock and keep. Like they just lock the door. They do not let they can't even come out to ringside. They can't do anything. Like, are these guys, are we led to believe that either they're so awful or are they like saving them until they're so great? Is it one of those things where like they only want them to be shown when they're great, or do they just think that they're so bad that they can't be shown on like normal TV, or else they're just like, because they can't even like, they're not even at ringside. Like they're not doing anything.
I don't think that's the New Japan way of doing things. I mean, I think there are problems with these guys' progression. We're not seeing Lionsgate shows right now. There's, you know, you look at Japan and you've got all this young talent ushering in, and we'll talk about it later with Dragon Gate and all these young guys that are coming out of the dojo.
Yeah, Dragon Gate's got too many. They can lend you four and still be okay.
There's nothing like the Dragon Gate dojo right now. And we're seeing, you know, Komatsu goes, Tanaka goes, Finley moves up, Jay White is MIA, and all of a sudden you're left with this. And it's such a stark contrast to where we were at this time last year.
Are you telling me that Ring of Honor does not know how to utilize a talent? Are you in reference to Jay White? What are you talking? I will not take this slander. I don't know if you think what if you know what we do on this podcast, sir. But we're very serious about yeah. What how do you not use Jay White? Like how is Jay White not?
He was in. Let me phone up the producer. And Jay White is actually the little bit I've seen of him in ROH has been fine. He had a tag match. He had a singles match against Jay Briscoe and then a tag match with the Briscoes against Jay White and Leo Rush. Both matches very good, but no one's watching the weekly ROH TV to see that, you know? I was sick one day, and I decided to, oh, let's see what Sinclair's up to, and that's how I saw those two matches. But, you know, you got the future of New Japan in your company, and you're not showcasing him, and it's such a disappointment.
I'm trying to think because, yeah, the last All-Star Extravaganza we saw in September, I think he was just in that six-man tag, right? Like, that's all he's done. And I'm trying to think of other, like, TV shows. And, yeah, he's just really not doing anything. And if anything, he's, like, you know, tagging with Alex Shelley. And they did all that weirdness, too, with him where, yeah, it's just, like, just have the guy be single or just have, you know, like, it's really not hard with Jay White, but apparently it is. So, anyway, that's that. So, he'll be back soon. another young lion that's kind of progressed into not young lion territory anymore, and he didn't even have to leave, was David Finlay, who was in our next match. It was David Finlay, Jushin Thunder Liger, Ricochet, and Tiger Mask, and they defeated the departing CMLL crew of Angelo Del Oro, Fuego, Titan, and then their tag team partner, Ryusuke Taguchi. What'd you think of this match? Because I thought it was fun. You know, it was a little under 6 minutes, and basically just a showcase match for these guys to do their flips and all their moves and let the crowd, you know, be very happy to see the CMLL guys and then wave goodbye to them. But match itself, I don't know if anything really stood out, but certainly worth your time to watch.
Rich, as you know, I'm not a lucha guy. Anyone that follows me on Twitter knows I'm not a lucha guy. I like my lucha with Flamita, or I like it in the sketchiest part of Tijuana. But with these CMLL guys,
you like your wet mats. You like your mats after it just rained and they still wrestle on a wet mat.
I prefer lucha when I see Hechicero's blood on the mat. There's just something about it that's just, I'm like, this feels like home to me. I really enjoy this.
And that's why you have to turn your laptop away when you're at school. Cause they're like, I don't know what's up with this kid. They're going to like report you to the principal. They're like, I think Case is into weird things.
Yeah,
he is, but you know, it's not as weird. He's just, you know.
Yeah. I mean, there are some people that know I'm a wrestling fan. Like I'll wear a screened wrestling shirt. Like it's got to pass like a number of tests if I'm going to wear it to school. But like I've worn a wrestling shirt to school before. And a lot of people know that like Case is into Japanese wrestling. I don't know what that is, but he likes it. But I can't explain grimy lucha to people. It's just one of those things that I can't do. But these CMLL guys, when they come over to New Japan, I am all about it. I think they're fun. I love watching them flip around with Ricochet and Finlay and Liger. Taguchi's dancing. Super fun match. Nothing to, you know, nothing to wow over, but very enjoyable if you're watching this entire show through.
Absolutely. I'll move on to the match that you mentioned at the beginning of our preview. This is Bullet Club, Bone Soldier, Chase Owens, and Yujiro Takahashi defeating Togi Makabe, Tomoaki Hanma, and Yoshitatsu. Absolutely nothing worth watching. Absolutely just skip it. Terrible, terrible all around. I felt so terrible for Chase Owens, who is actually pretty good, and he just, that dude flew all the way over here for this. Like, can you imagine, like, that flight, and you get, like, 8 minutes, and it's this match, and it's just like, all right, whatever. As long as the check clears, I guess, but this was bad, and even Hanma couldn't save it. Even Hanma, he tried, but it, God willing, he just couldn't do anything.
Chase Owens has, like, the reverse Shelton Benjamin treatment, because, like, I don't know if you remember, like, Benjamin in, like, 2014, he wouldn't work the tour shows, but he'd come in for a Dontaku and do an exploder suplex and then fly home and would get the right, tour. Right. And it's like he's working with Minoru Suzuki. Like, his life is pretty good. And Chase Owens, who I like a lot, and I think it's a shame that he sort of moved up to the heavyweight division because I don't know if we'll get him in the Super Juniors next year, but Owens is strapped with Takahashi and Bone Soldier, and he seems like a nice guy. I just feel bad for him.
It is, yeah, it's quite unfortunate what he's left with here. But, yeah, this match is not very good at all. And then Girls of Destiny Chaos, we talked about that match. Let's move on to the finals of the 2016 Super Junior Tag Tournament. It was Roppongi Vice, and a little bit of an upset for some people. Beretta and Rocky Romero defeating ACH and Taiji Ishimori to win the Super Junior Tag Tournament. After the match, they made a challenge to the Young Bucks for Wrestle Kingdom to face one another. So that's kind of our Wrestle Kingdom. For right now, our junior tag match. Hopefully it just stays as 2-on-2. but I'm sure there will be two other teams or at least one other team lumped into there as well. But what do you think about Roppongi Vice winning? Because the whole build, and I guess Joe kind of called it last week, that the build has been so much like, these guys are breaking up, these guys are breaking up, they can't coexist, that you kind of had a feeling like the fact that they were hitting it so hard over the head that, you know, they probably were going to coexist and they probably were going to win. But were you surprised at all?
I was a little surprised. I don't want to speculate and say this had something to do with the new Noah sale. I don't think that's a part of it, but I'm a little surprised and a little disappointed. I think Roppongi Vice is great. I think Trip Beretta is a wonderful professional wrestler, and Rocky Romero, for my money, is one of the most underappreciated guys in wrestling today and has been for the past five or so years. I'm okay with a Roppongi Vice Young Bucks match in the Dome. I mean, it'll have no heat because it's the Dome, but it'll be a very good match. But I look at ACH in Japan, and as much as I like the luchadors in Japan, can we fly ACH's dogs out and just have him live in Japan? Buy him a place in Osaka, have him live there, have him be happy, because this guy is on another level in Japan and comes across like a complete superstar.
You can tell he's finally comfortable in a spot where he never felt the way in Ring of Honor. For whatever reason, he just never felt like Ring of Honor worked. This is ACH that everybody sees on the indies. This is the ACH that everybody sees on their local show. This is the ACH that Joe had been talking about for 5 years or whatever, watching local Texas shows. This is the guy that we have all been saying. A lot of people that just watch Ring of Honor, just watch stuff, go, I don't know, yeah, he's fine, but I don't see it. Like, this is the guy, and you're just seeing him at his perfect comfort level, and he's just hitting everything. The crowd loves him. He loves being there. I mean, yeah, this is absolutely very much like Michael Elgin, where it's like, you know, this guy is just withering away in Ring of Honor, and then he comes to New Japan, and it's just a shining, a new light. I mean, you could see a guy that just loves working in front of those crowds, loves what he's doing right now, loves his job. So I'm with you. We should basically just rip up whatever plane ticket he has and just strap him, make him stay in Japan. And anyway, he's like a perfect guy for Japan anyway, knowing, you know, ACH the person, knowing, you know, kind of the anime nerd, the gamer or whatever, like, he's got to be like, you know, absolutely loving this. Like, it's a Kenny Omega thing too. It's like, that guy could not live anywhere else in the world but Japan. Like, that's the perfect place for him, and I think it's a perfect place for ACH as well. So I do hope that this is not the end of it. He did tweet out the other day, like, oh, available bookings, and he listed a date or whatever, and then listed his emails or whatever. So I don't know if that means that, like, you know, that he's not coming back to Japan or he's not doing whatever, but I really do hope that New Japan does something with him in the next year, and now that he's free of Ring of Honor, at least can get some other bookings elsewhere, because yeah, he absolutely deserves it, and he's still good in Japan too, and this match was really
solid. I want to bring up one more point about ACH. You've seen him live countless times, both in ROH and AEW. I've seen him live in ROH, and when I watch ACH live, there's something different about him. He has such a magnetic charisma to him. I mean, I've watched this guy, and I like Jimmy Jacobs. I know you and Joe are not Jimmy Jacobs guys. I watched this guy have a match with Jimmy Jacobs, and I watched it live in the front row in Chicago Ridge. I was determined it was 4.5 stars. I was blown away by this ACH match. Watch it back on tape. I'm like, that was like a 3-star match. There was something about ACH.
Yeah, something about it. Yeah, he doesn't project well the video. All right, we'll move on to next match. One that I really, really loved, and I think I imagine you did as well, was Hiroshi Tanahashi defeating Sonata. Match went in a little over 20 minutes. Really great work, I thought, from Tanahashi throughout this match. He was kind of targeting Sonata's leg the entire time, really kind of working over his leg. Just a lot of really good stuff, and Sonata played it up perfectly as well. Sonata, you know, sort of worked, was able to sell it really well, and there was a lot of really good groundwork throughout the match as well with Sonata. Just doing a great job of working him on the mat, doing a bunch of different stuff. But I thought this match was awesome. I thought both guys really brought it, and we've seen this time and time again from Sonata, and, you know, Tanahashi speaks for himself. We don't really have to say anything more about him, but Sonata we've seen like many times throughout this year, particularly both times with Tanahashi, that this guy can absolutely deliver in a big spot, and I can't wait to see if and when they do actually, you know, go the full push with this guy, because it's going to be awesome, and he's going to fit into that main event style perfectly.
Yeah, this was my match of the night. Tanahashi, he's unreal. I mean, I'm okay with this Tanahashi schedule of dogging it in six-man tags, showing up for the G1, showing up for a big match here, then doing Wrestle Kingdom, then starting it over. Because when he's on, there are such few wrestlers that have ever been better. And this was just another one. Just I'm watching Tanahashi, and Sonata's great. Sonata killed it in this match. But I'm watching Tanahashi, and I'm thinking, this guy aches every morning. It probably hurts to brush his teeth. He goes out there and puts on a 4.25-star match. There is no one like Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Yeah, I thought one of the interesting parts about this match, and Joe alluded to it a lot in the review, which you can find on voiceofwrestling.com, is that, you know, when they went into the G1, Tanahashi wasn't 100%. Sonata sort of pried on Tanahashi's hurt shoulder here. That didn't happen here. So Sonata had to work a little bit different, and that kind of frustrated him from the beginning. Like, Tanahashi was a little bit, a step faster here, a step smarter. Like, everything was a little bit more, where Sonata had it a little bit easy in that first match against Tanahashi. This time he did not. Like, and this time Tanahashi, you know, worked over his knee really well, and then you had, you know, issues where Sonata would do a moonsault and kind of try to get out of it, and things that he would do before he wasn't able to do because his knee killed him this time, and his knee hurt, and like Tanahashi's shoulder didn't hurt. And it was just a really cool story in those 20 minutes, where it was just, you really, I think you're better off watching those two matches back to back. If you don't remember that G1 match, go back and watch that match and then watch this one, and I think you're going to appreciate this one so much more than you would just watching it without context or without watching it without remembering that G1 match, because so many things kind of played into that too. So it was really good. And again, like, you know, Sonata being just he's there. I mean, he's absolutely going to be ready whenever they want him to become a main eventer for the company. I have no doubt that he's going to be able to do it, but I like the idea that they're going to wait it out a little bit for him, and he's got to work his way out. Because I know some people are upset. Oh, Tanahashi won again. Nah, nah, nah. You know, it's going to happen. It's Tanahashi, man. Like, you know, they're going to have him in big Tokyo Dome matches until he can't go anymore. But Sonata's time will come, and when it does come, I think it's going to be nothing but great things. And I think this match was, again, another example of what he's capable of in that atmosphere. But the big story, we'll talk about that after this match. We'll talk about the main event here real quick. I don't want to spoil it again. Like, you know, New Japan would be very upset if I spoiled the finish of this main event here, but it was the Intercontinental Championship match. It was Tetsuya Naito defeating Jay Lethal, the ROH's Jay Lethal, who, instead of unfortunately, Michael Elgin, who was not able to make it, he was hurt. But anyway, we had Jay Lethal fill in. I don't know. What'd you think? I just thought it was just there.
Holy shit, man.
And when it was over, I just went, yep, okay, whatever. Like, it was a match where it was done, and like, yeah, it wasn't actively bad, but never in my life will I ever remember any part of this match ever again. Like, nothing will ever resonate with me. I closed out of that window, and it left my mind forever until I talk to you right now. And even then, I'm like trying to remember what the hell happened in it. Like, I nothing, just a nothing match.
I don't know if it's because he was overexposed in his Ring of Honor World Title run, but I went from being a big Jay Lethal supporter to someone that I just do not care about. And this was the swan song for Jay Lethal for me. I'm good with not seeing him for a while, because this match, and I expect it to not be great. I mean, he was put in an impossible position where he wasn't going to be over no matter what. You're going to have the hottest crowd ever. Jay Lethal is not going to be over in front of that crowd. It went 25 minutes, and I didn't care for it. It was fine. I would give it 3 stars, but no matter who you are when you're main eventing a New Japan show in 2016, 3 stars is not going to cut it. And Jay Lethal is just not doing anything for me right now.
Yeah, I had high hopes for Lethal in this match, because I said, okay, you know, the last times he was in New Japan, he was a heel and he was in the House of Truth. And, you know, then he did that sort of like, I have to be a heel champion thing. So you had Truth Martini go in there and hit people with, you know, the book and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So I said, okay, cool. He's a face now. He's going to be fine. But like, I think he got rattled almost from the beginning of this match, because the crowd was really into Naito and they were cheering for him. And I don't know if Lethal really quite either. I don't know if he didn't know how to react to that. If I don't know if he didn't know how to work to it or whatever, but he seemed kind of turned off from the beginning, and then he kind of started working heel, and he just started, like, I don't know, it's just, it never really did much. And I think the problem was that nobody in the world, not a single person in that crowd, nobody believed that Jay Lethal had even a chance of winning this match, and I think that hurt a little bit. And I just don't know that they're that familiar with Jay Lethal, and they're that familiar with that feud, which we sort of mentioned was something that was going to be tough to do. Is this a feud that was largely built in America? And yeah, you can throw some, you know, promos out there, you can have a pre-match video or whatever, but for people to really get invested in it, and people really want Naito to win or want Lethal to win, they have to watch a lot of that. And we don't know that everybody watched it. And it seemed like from that crowd reaction that nobody cared. Like, nobody was really into the Jay Lethal redemption story. Like, they haven't built any, like, he hasn't built any equity to get to that point where people want to see him, you know, redeem himself, because they don't care. I mean, who's Jay Lethal to them? The last time they saw him, he was a dickhead and he was, you know, hitting people with books and being an asshole and just being a bad heel champion. So yeah, there was no investment from the crowd, and Lethal was in a terrible spot to really have, but I really thought he would bring, you know, his absolute A game, everything he could. And this was just a Jay Lethal TV match. Like I said, this would have been fine as like the fourth or fifth match on a Global Wars card, where you would have been like, oh yeah, that was pretty nice, you know, Naito came out, Lethal had a good, like, but as the main event of this show, which was a really good show to this point, the main event not delivering, like, and that's where I kind of fall back on the show of the year thing, because yes, there were a lot of really good matches on this show, but when that main event kind of, I don't want to say bombs, but just is just there. I can't go show of the year contender. You know, that's a very important part of the entire package. And for that just to be there, it hurts me a little bit. As far
I
as
was
the show of the year.
So on board with Jay Lethal for a while. I think the match that he beat Jay Briscoe for the ROH World title, which was almost 2 years ago now, which is frightening. That match, beautiful piece of wrestling. I thought it was one of the best matches of 2015. Since then, we watched him have a mediocre match with Colt Cabana that was made even worse by Bullet Club shenanigans. We saw him stink up the joint with Satoshi Kojima at the G1. His head's shaved. He's not cool. He doesn't have Truth Martini behind him. I'm over Jay Lethal. I think he's had, actually, the best ROH match this year with Lio Rush in Texas, but that was a match that was designed for Lio Rush and played to every one of Lio Rush's strengths. And we're seeing Lethal here. I mean, it's hard to have a bad match with Tetsuya Naito in 2016. And not that this was a bad match, but this is about as bad as it gets for Naito in 2016.
Yeah, just it didn't really do much for me at all either. So that's Power Struggle for you. So a very good show. Yeah, I would not go show of the year, but other people have said show of the year, or at least a show of the year contender, at least in that level. You absolutely should watch at least most of it. I mean, it's a long-ish show, too, which will drain you a little bit. But there are some skippable matches if you want to, which we mentioned a little bit there. But definitely worth your time. And one of the big announcements of that Power Struggle show was the World Tag League blocks. We got our World Tag League participants. We got the blocks. We got everything ready to go. For people that don't know the World Tag League, we'll start November 18th and it'll run through December 10th. This is when a lot of people decide, you know, I'm going to take a break from New Japan for a while. I've been watching a lot of it. I'm going to check out for a bit. Not always the right thing to do because there are some good matches in the World Tag League, but I've kind of become the person, especially this last half of the year where we're working on the ebook, the New Japan Pro Wrestling ebook, and hint, hint, we are doing a Dragon Gate ebook this year as well, which you were a big part of. So that's look for more information about that coming up. I just buried it in a random part of this podcast. I don't even know if people are going to listen to it, but they probably will. And we're doing a Dragon Gate ebook, similar style as the New Japan one this year as well. So this is going to be a time when, like, I'm working on that sort of stuff. I'm editing it. I'm laying stuff out. I'm getting submissions. I'm doing all that sort of stuff. I kind of check out of the World Tag League unless people say, hey, this is a match you definitely have to see. Where are you at with the World Tag League? Are you a watch every show of the World Tag League guy? Or are you a, hey, let me know when a match is good and then I'll watch it? Or do you not watch anything? Do you just say, nope, I'm good. I need a break. I need to kind of get away for a little bit.
I love the
where do you
project.
Stand?
I'm someone, I won't watch every Corkin show with that hits New Japan Roll. I'm sure as hell not watching every World Tag League show. And now that I think about it, Hanma and Makabe won last year, but I don't think I watched a single World Tag League match. And this year I will, because there are some intriguing things in this block, some for better, some for worse.
Oh, certainly, yes.
But it's something that once I hit, you know, December, my focus is Wrestle Kingdom and Final Gate and all these other great wrestling events in December. I don't need to watch the Hangman Page tag team match with Hinare and Nakanishi. I'm just not going to do it.
All right, so let's go over these blocks because there's some weird stuff here that we definitely have to unpack and talk about. But here is the A block. You have a very surprise team here. Brian Breakker and Leland Race. Leland Race and Brian Breakker, a very odd team. Leland Race is Harley Race's son, right? His son, grandson? It's son, right? How could it's got
to
be grandson, right? Harley Race is really fucking old, right?
He was trained by Harley Race and George South. Now Leland Race is also the former...
Is Harley's really? Son. He is Harley's son. How is that possible?
Now, Leland Race is also possible? The former Jason Jones, who did a few Noah tours in 2013. And Breaker's been over to Noah, but this is not exactly Marufuji and Nakajima coming over.
How old is Leland Race? Because Harley Race is 73. So apparently Leland Race is 32.
Is Harley popping out when he's 40?
Still, man. 41, yeah. Okay, Harley. I mean, if anybody could do it, it's Harley Race for sure. But wow, okay. I really thought he was a grandchild until today. Well, that's very strange. But yeah, these guys have been in Noah. They've done a few shots here and there. But this is, and I don't know a whole lot about them, but everybody that does kind of know a little bit. I mean, they're
in
the WLW
promotion
a lot. That's
the only place that Race wrestles. You look at the stage match, it's 2 years of WLW and then some other random stuff at the Noah tour.
Which is his dad's promotion, so it says a lot when it's your dad's promotion that's the only one that really books you all that much. So I don't know. I'm led to believe that these guys are gonna be far and away the worst. Maybe they'll surprise us, who knows, but everybody kind of, this was one where everyone went okay, like they're probably not gonna be very good, but hey, that's all right. Very odd team, but hey, we'll give them a chance. Hangman Page and Yujiro Takahashi, though. Ooh, yeah, you mentioned that's That's that. Hanson and Ray Rowe. I'm excited about them. They fit like a glove in Japan, and I think they'll be great in this. There's a few matchups that I'm really looking forward to them.
Yeah, this is what I'm excited about. And what do you think about Hanson and Ray Rowe? This A-block looks awful, but I don't even think Hanson and Rowe worked a Noah tour. I think they just came in for that Killer Elite Squad match in Noah last year, and it was awesome, and I was ready.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think I don't know if they did a whole tour, but yeah, it was very strange because it was like, wow, these guys are great. All right, see ya.
This was when Noah was still sort of fun, and you had Cabana and Hero, and you had Killer Elite Squad, and you had Hanson and Rowe. I was like, this tag division's all right. Not the case now, but I'm really excited for Hanson and Rowe. They seem like one really good dudes, and I'm happy they're getting a shot in New Japan because they're both very talented.
Yeah, absolutely. Hanare and Manabu Nakanishi. That's Hanare is one of the young lions. He's not very good yet. He's getting there, and Manabu Nakanishi is Manabu
working
Nakanishi.
Hard. He's funny. Nakanishi has worked joyous, his ass off this year.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, but he. I don't know if he's going to really be able to carry this team very much, which he's going to be a lot of fun to do. So that's going to be a lot of really bad matchups there. Tanahashi and Juice Robinson. Really excited for Juice Robinson to get that opportunity. And those should be pretty good. And Juice is going to have to do a lot because I don't think Tanahashi is. Because Tanahashi's MO in these World Tag Leagues are, I will be over here, you do your thing, and when you lose, I blame you. So that's what the Captain Japan template was for a while. But then again, the team, him and Elgin last year, they worked their asses off. So maybe he'll show up a little bit more here. But I think Juice will be doing a lot of the heavy lifting.
Japanese audience,
which is fine.
The famed Puriso crowds to watch Juice Robinson and Brian Breaker go at it. I can't wait. Yeah, oh, Juice is over.
To be fair, they enjoy Juice now, so that makes it a little bit better, because he was crickets before when he would do his stuff, but now they enjoy him a little bit. Yeah, it might take a while for them to get into Brian Breaker and Leland Race, but we'll see about that. So another one, Tenzan and Kojima, of course, Tenkozy in there. I'm really looking forward to the Hanson Radio
Tenkozy
match.
Hanson and Kojima, I can see those guys. I mean, they're both big guys. I mean, that's gonna be incredible. Not like that Lance Archer Nakajima chemistry where it doesn't fit. I can see Hanson and Kojima just fitting like a glove and just beating the crap out of each other.
Yeah, that's going to be, like, big clotheslines. Like, I the sequence I see right now is Hanson just, like, clotheslining him, well, and then Kojima hitting him with
and
the chop.
Hanson's got that
clothesline chop. You
know
like,
that's
they can
the
do that
match
for 20 minutes.
They're all
fine
four big
like,
guys. Hanson's got to break out somehow. Hanson's doing the cartwheel. He's taking Kojima's head off with a lariat.
Yeah, absolutely. And then somebody's diving
and
over
Tenzan
the
And Tenzan is not taking that dive. He is throwing Kanemitsu in front of him. Going, here you go.
No, Tenzan will be as far away as humanly possible. Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, we'll see. Tama Tonga and Tonga Rao, the Gorillas of Destiny, are also in the A block there. Again, we'll see. Like, I'm cautiously optimistic about them because they were good now. So who knows? But yeah, they could also revert to being terrible, and it could really sink this into. Because if they're good, this A block's not bad. If they're
That's
bad, this
well
A block
put.
Is
yeah,
a train wreck.
Very much so.
We'll get to that. Yeah, that, and then the last of the A block, Tetsuya Naito. And TB announced. We don't know. X. His tag partner,
I
X.
I hope it's Rush.
Who is X? Case. Who do you have? That seems to be the popular pick.
I'm
going to
give
and
you
the most
two other scenarios.
Well.
One, I just thought of. It's not going to happen, but I got excited thinking about it. And that's, it's not happening. Don't get excited. But I love the idea of Koji okay. Kanemoto coming in, because Kanemoto is nowhere to be found. Can't find him with a search party. I want Kanemoto as part of Los
I like it too.
My fear, and I could be very wrong on this, but my fear is that Naito decides, I don't need a partner, and I don't really need the World Tag League, and he does, like, weird handicap matches, he gets counted out in every one of them. I'm afraid they're going to do that. I don't think they will, but it would fit the Naito
says,
character,
fuck
and
this,
it would
and
be
just
a real
walks out, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm hopeful it's Rush, but yeah, well, we'll see. It could
Wait,
be. Yeah.
Can we start the pot?
I don't know if there's many
the
other people
freelancer
that, could be
that
we
New
can
Japan
really guess. I mean,
is it is it Kotaro Suzuki? I mean, who do we have here? Who's the outlandish guest that's going to go on Reddit as Rich Craich and Case Lowe said this is the new member of LIA?
Oh, this is the guy.
Could
let's
be
think
Road
here.
Dog?
Okay,
could we be think, setting up a finals good. Of Naito and Road Dog versus Tatsu and Billy Gunn?
That would be, you know what, you laugh and I laugh, but that's pretty incredible. I'd be down for that. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Man, who could that be? It's gonna get a hot take here. I don't know. I'm trying to think of anybody that'd be real hot if they come in. I mean, Minoru Suzuki, we could say that.
they made Suzuki.
I mean, he's the
like,
guy under
were,
the mask.
You were so bad at Noah. You're
gonna under the mask.
Back, you've got to work the mask gimmick.
You must be. Yeah, and he's got to be under a mask, and everyone's like, I think that's Minoru Suzuki. They're like, I don't know who it is. I don't know who that is. He's just obviously Minoru Suzuki. Comes out the same music. And yeah.
It's Rush. Who else? Because they're not going to touch anyone.
It's Rush. I mean, right? It's got to be Rush, right?
Yeah.
But why would they say Rush? Know. You know, why would they say it? I don't get it. It's a little strange, but whatever. Maybe we'll see. I hope it's Kanemoto.
I miss Koji Kanemoto. He still kicks ass. He's not working anywhere. Kind of fun. I don't think so, because he had that blow up with Big Japan.
Is he really not? I know I haven't noticed his name a lot. Yeah, is he not?
But Kanemoto, you know,
he
had that fight with the fan, and, you know, he's been MIA since. The last thing I've seen, he worked a K-Dojo show, so things are going great for him. He then worked an FMW revival show, Kanemoto Minoru Tanaka versus High 69 in Kai. I want to see that match. That was in Korkin. That might have made tape.
Oh, God, that's incredible, yeah.
If it's not High 69, then my entire life.
It's Heyo or something, right? Or what is it?
That's where you guys talked about this last week.
It's not. No, did you follow that? We got in trouble, yeah, like, because we always call him High 69, and somebody, like, tweeted at us, and they're like, oh, it's actually pronounced, like, Heyo or Io or something like that, and we're like, no, it's High 69, like, look at the, like, I'm not gonna, because I've been saying High 69 for, like, 10 years now, I'm not changing now, I don't care if I'm wrong, I don't care if I've been wrong, I'm calling him High 69,
in October,
sorry.
And then the Odate Wrestling Festival a week later,
we can't have Koji Kanemoto doing this, come on, champion, he's better than this.
So if you catch Occupation of the Indies, you're going to see some hot kind of...
Oh, good. So he's too busy to... Oh, see,
no,
he's
no
too
way.
Good.
He
That's
needs to team up with Naito.
Guy.
He's coming to the Dome.
His crew doing this,
Hiroki
right?
Goto versus Koji Kanemoto in the Dome. Give that to me, please. Yes. God, yes.
Yeah, and then he can fuck with Milano Collection, too. Think about that. That actually works. I like that. Then he comes in, he's like, yeah, what up, dude? Remember me? Like, what's up, man? And then we get the big Milano return to the ring, which I don't know if it's ever happening, but it'd be awesome if it did. Yeah, okay. I'm into this now. Let's have Koji Kanemoto. Okay, I don't think that's going to get the Reddit buzz that some of the other things do, but feel free to tell everybody that we said that Koji Kanemoto is coming in to New Japan as the new member of Ingobernables, so... There you go. All right, let's lock it in there. B block.
I don't
Bad
care.
Bad luck, and Bone Soldier.
Who I love dearly. You can catch me.
Not a good
the latest
start.
DKP show. We talked all about Akira Tozawa. Alan Forel could give a 5-star match to Bad Luck Folly and Bone Soldier. Not watching it. Do not care. Yeah, that's the lesser of the two evils. The other scenarios, you get Yujiro and Bone Soldier.
And I like Bad Luck Folly.
So.
right. So. Man, oh geez, that's something else. This speaking of something else here, Yoshitatsu and Billy Gunn. Yes, that Billy Gunn. There is not another Billy Gunn. It is the Billy Gunn that you
I'm
think.
I'm almost
it is.
At a loss for words.
Billy Gunn.
But then I think, wait a minute.
And Yoshitatsu.
Billy Gunn worked IWA Mid South in January. He's obviously has no ring rust. He's ready for a return. He's got that stink of the New Age Outlaws versus Ascension match from a few years ago. That's still in my mind as such an awful match. That's gone. He worked Reed Bentley on January 9th, and this man is ready for New Japan.
God, yeah. What the fuck? Why is Billy Gunn here? I like part of me, like when I initially saw it, I was like, this is awful, that's bad. And then the more I thought about it, I said the World Tag League is a joke anyway. Yoshitatsu's terrible.
Really,
like,
it
might
yeah.
be kind of funny to see Yoshitatsu think that he's like really cool because he brought in Billy Gunn. Like because he probably thinks this is awesome. He's like, oh yeah, Billy Gunn. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's probably cannot wait to do it. He's got all of his gear ready and he's going to spit his water and he's going to tell people to suck it. He can't wait. And Billy Gunn, you know, probably needs the money and doesn't care. And he's like, whatever, dude. Yeah, I'll do whatever. Since I got
so
fired from WWE, I'll do whatever. And like
it's
you know who he yoked
Billy
out his
Gunn,
mind
like,
to.
He tweeted,
gigantic
it's not
specimen,
Hikutaru so. Doing a Billy Gunn gimmick. This is New Age Outlaws, WWF World Tag Team Champion of the World. This is Billy Gunn.
It's just yeah I really can't like I can't wrap my head around has Billy Gunn now I wanted to see I'm gonna have the producer look this up too. Billy Gunn in Japan, do you recall any Japanese matches for Billy Gunn in years prior other than like of course WWE tours, which I'm sure at some point they did, but even when he was around and really in his prime they weren't going to Asia all that much, but let's see here. He was in the Philippines with WWFX against Jimmy Yang. I have no idea what that is. He was in Tokyo in 2005 with IZW and ICW against A-Train. Okay. NWA Mid-Atlantic that ran in Seoul, South Korea in 2005. Yeah, when did this happen? Sting? Apparently he faced Sting. Okay, so those are things. And then other than that, it's just WWE house shows in various places. But yeah, last time he was in Japan, it was against A-Train.
I'm going to assume IZW they don't have all recommended matches.
I don't remember
ICW
at all. What the hell is ICW? Impact Zone Wrestling. No, Impact Wrestling of Tempe, Arizona. What in God's name were they doing in with a company from Missouri International? They're at an Air Force base. Oh, it was an Air Force base. Okay. Like a U.S. Air Force base, probably. Most likely. I'm imagining they didn't bring a... this is... Oh, my God. The top three matches of this show is Virgil versus Chris Cole, Norman Smiley versus Disco Inferno,
A-Train
and then your main event,
Billy
the IWZ
gotta get his win
heavyweight
back
title,
in front of Japan.
Defeating Billy Gunn. Can you imagine?
And if you go back farther, July 19, 2003, Kobe World Memorial Hall, the same place as Mochizuki versus BB Hulk, the same place as some of the most historic Dragon Gate matches ever, A-Train beats Billy Gunn. I think Albert's got to leave the Performance Center. I think we got to take this view back to Japan.
We do, yeah. We have to go to Kobe. Yeah, Dragon Gate can book it and finally get the blow off here. So Billy Gunn can finally get his win back after all those years. I'm in. I'm down with this. So, yeah, so very weird history of Billy Gunn in Japan or in Asia. Now he comes back to be in the World Tag League, which is just unfathomable. But we'll see. Pretty good matchups, though, in the B block. So I won't let those two teams cloud because the rest of it gets pretty good because then you got Chase Owens and Kenny Omega. I'm really looking forward to that team. Both those guys are awesome, and seeing Chase Owens not being dragged down by Yujiro will be a very good thing. Evil and Sonata, Hiroki Goto and Tomohiro Ishii, Shibata and Yuji Nagata, Okada and Yoshihashi, Makabe and Hanma. I mean, the rest of those guys are good. What kind of stands out to you, or what matches are you looking at and going, yes, I cannot
wait for that. That's one of those. You don't get a lot of Nagata Okada. You saw their G1 match last year. It was a very good match.
They're so good against each other. So good against each other. I love those matches between those two.
Yeah, because I remember.
Still have not done that. Yeah, I think that's still protected. They did that. Joe and I looked this up not that long ago. I think it was one of the G1s. G1 a few years ago, but still, as far as like a really highlighted match, we haven't. And the reason they haven't done that is because they're holding that thing. They know that's going to be a big deal if and when it does actually happen. So.
I'm doing a wrestling podcast with this, and I don't understand.
Just age yourself by 25 years.
Most people my age are doing.
So.
I focus on stand up comedy, professional wrestling, and just trying to make it through each day. I don't understand the teenagers, and I have a lot of friends. People like actually put up with this shit, but I don't know. I don't understand the youth.
I'm with you, Case. I do not understand the youth either. That's why I talk to you. That's why I'm spending my Thursday night talking to you. So, which was funny because my wife, when she left before she was going to do yoga or something like that, and she was like, "Are you going to go talk to your little friend later?" And I'm like, "Well, the way you say it makes it sound bad." Like, and then she said, "Oh, I'll call you your son or whatever." And I was like, "Well, that's also weird too." Like, I'm not as like, but you are going to be living in our house when you move to Chicago, right? That's we have the room. We clean it out for you. Yeah, so you got this room. Your commute's going to be a little much, but we got a train right by us. So, yeah, we got the room all settled for you. I told my wife that would be the most incredible thing ever.
The nurse and I like a lot of the same bands.
Like, sitting in a room watching, like, terrible, like... That's true. And then, like, yeah, you can hang out with her sometimes. And then most of the time, like I said, you're basically just like a younger me. Like, you're just going down the exact same path, which is like, it's going to be a case. I'm going to warn you, it's going to be bad for like the next 10 years. But then after that, it's going to be great because you're going to have a good job.
There's no woman
that is going to come for you. Right now, not so much. For a while, they weren't.
Most of my friends are females. I don't like men. Like, there are very few men I get along with. Most of my friends are females, but those females do not want to touch me or come close to any sort of physical contact in any way. And it's not that I smell better. They're not into touching me. It's not.
That's fine. It's going to happen for a while. Yeah, and that's going to be a thing for a while. If you're going down my path, that will be a thing for a while. But then you're going to really, I mean, like, you're going to have all that money stored up from college because they're not, you know, you're not going to have to take them out on dates. And you get all that money stored from college, you get a nice little job, and then they're going to be coming, you know? You get the khakis, then you get the ladies. You know, it's going to be that thing. So once you do that, once you get a good, you know, job, then they'll all come in. But until then, unfortunately, it's going to be rough.
Gets me through the days.
You have a lot of torment and a lot of great gaming. Yeah. Hey, you know what? It worked for me, and all worked out. But yeah, we have the room cleaned out for us, so you can come in here whenever you want. So yeah, that's the World Tag League. Again, starts November 18th, and we'll cover as much as we can. This is always like the hardest time in the world too to try to get people to review these shows, because like we've had people leave. Like we've had last year, I think we had Rugun like did most of the World Tag League reviews, and then was like, I don't want to review wrestling ever again. And it was like, all right, like she's like, I'm gonna do SmackDown, but I'm really done. Like I feel bad making people review these shows, and like people are always like, yeah, I'll review it. And I'm like, ah, dude, it's like 4 hours, and it's just a lot of really bad tag matches. Like some will be good, but yeah, it's a tour to definitely pick and choose. I think you'll drive yourself nuts if you really want to watch every single show that comes out, because it's just a lot of it is not worth it. And the matches that are elsewhere on the tour are like random six-mans of teams that aren't on there, and nobody's trying either. They don't care. It seems like everybody's kind of like, hey, we're gonna rest up for Wrestle Kingdom. So that's a good purpose of the tour, and I'm glad that they do that, because it makes Wrestle Kingdom a lot better. But yeah, don't expect any knockout dragout matches. I mean, there's some few, you know, here and there that are good, but yeah, you're not gonna get a consistent. It is no G1, I'll tell you that. So speaking of Wrestle Kingdom 11, we're gonna really quickly go over what we know of the card now, because after that main event of Power Struggle, which we forgot to mention, Hiroshi Tanahashi came out and challenged Tetsuya Naito for the Intercontinental Championship, and we locked that in as a Wrestle Kingdom match, and now we have four Wrestle Kingdom matches that were pretty well locked in. We hope that they don't change all that much, because pretty good card so far on its face. First one is the Young Bucks defending their junior heavyweight tag team championships against Roppongi Vice. We heard that one after Power Struggle, of course, Roppongi Vice challenging them. I hope, and I believe you hope too, that it's just a 2-on-2, that we don't get a multi-man, because those multi-mans just turn into a total scramble and nothing gets over, and it just kind of, it seems like a waste. So I do hope that it is still 2-on-2,
yeah,
and the fact that they've already kind of locked this in and mentioned it, I hope that it is 2-on-2.
The Bucks know the Dome's a big deal. Beretta and Rocky Romero know the Dome's a big deal. You know, like I said earlier, there's going to be no heat to this match, but I'm going to be watching on my New Japan World. The 4th is on a weekday this year, and I don't have school off, which means I'm going to skip school to watch Wrestle Kingdom, because most years I have it off. It's part of our holiday break. This year, nope, I'm skipping school to watch Wrestle Kingdom, and I expect big things out of the Bucks and Roppongi Vice. It's like a Wednesday this year, and Christmas is early, so our break's all thrown off, and the Christmas is on like a Monday.
Ah, crap.
The fourth is a Wednesday.
Oh, I see that. Yeah, there's no way you would still have the 4th off. Yeah, that's November 4th. Let me see here. That was like, oh, it's a Friday. I can do that. Like, yeah, no, I can't do that. Oh, it is a Wednesday, man. Crap. Like, and people are always like, oh, take a day off work. I'm like, dude, I only get like X amount of like PTO days, and like blowing one 3 days into the year is not a good thing. Like, I really don't get that many, so I really can't do that. So yeah, I'll see what I can do, but I'll just put my head under a pillow until I can watch the entire show when I get home or something. So we'll see about that. Other matches that we have Kushida versus Takahashi, as we mentioned, the former Kamatami IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship match. Really looking forward to this. Cannot wait. I think it's going to be an awesome match, and I believe both dudes are going to bring it. And I know Kushida is going to bring it, because he's brought it all year. And like you said, Takahashi, he's incredible as well. And I think knowing the stakes that are on the line, and knowing that he's being vaulted into this huge spotlight, he's going to do great as well. So I cannot wait for that match. Naito defending his IWGP Intercontinental Championship against Hiroshi Tanahashi, as we just mentioned. And then, of course, the main event, Okada IWGP Heavyweight Championship against Kenny Omega. What do you think of those four matches so far? Because I am way into every single one of them, and every single one of them has the potential to be four stars or better. Like, yeah, I just don't see a scenario where those don't teeter
it's
around
be
that.
The best. I'm so excited for the juniors
far,
match.
At this point,
Naito and Tanahashi, very good chemistry. Naito's a lot like Shibata in that I like him a lot. I've never championed him as this is my guy, but it's Tanahashi at the Dome. I expect stars to be a flowing, and then that main event, Okada Omega. I'm so excited for that match. It's going to be unreal. I mean, I have so much faith in Okada and Omega to deliver. Okada doesn't not deliver at the Dome. Okada is Wrestle Kingdom is his event now. He delivers every single year. Kenny Omega knows this is going to be the biggest match of his life, and he wants to show everyone that he doesn't need WWE, he doesn't need NXT. Kenny Omega is here in New Japan, and he's here to stay. It's November 10th, 9:43 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I am so excited for Omega versus Okada. I am ready for that match right now.
Here it comes again, lunch. Will it be the same old, or are you ready to take a vacation from the ordinary with the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub at Firehouse Subs? Freshly sliced smoked turkey breast, craveably sweet mustard sauce, and a hint of Caribbean seasoning. Just $5.55 for a medium. Save time. Order the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub on the Firehouse Subs app. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations, limited time only, plus tax. Prices may vary for delivery.